my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey friends, welcome to episode 318 of the My 1-2-3 cents podcast. Merry Christmas. This is a Christmas episode for all intents and purposes as well. We are talking with my good friend Chad Smart, who has become kind of the unofficial co-host of the year. Don't tell Tyler that though. Every first Monday of the month, I let him have that role. But Chad, what's going on? Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network and the Greg and Chad Power Half Hour. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, we're just, as we're less than a week out from Christmas, so here in sunny LA, trying to get into that Christmas spirit, by going surfing at the beach with Santa.
There you go. Well, we are, as Chad mentioned, with the countdown to Christmas, we are just, as this episode drops, 5 days away or so from the big day, and we hope that everyone has a safe and happy and merry Christmas. This is also going to be a wrestling under the influence because, hey, why not? It is technically the third Monday. Chad's not drinking in LA, but here in Southern Illinois, I picked up a bottle of brew here called Santa's Little Helper. It's an Imperial Stout from Port Brewing. And we are also doing this through Zoom for the first time. So Chad can see the bottle that I'm about to drink. And it's a big ass bottle. I'll admit that too. So I wanted to get something Christmas themed. Chad's drinking Dr. Pepper. All right. You could have put a bow on it, I suppose.
So you're drinking a Santa's Little Helper? Is that the hair of the dog?
Yes. I see what you did there and I like it. But so I wanted to talk to Chad about, because it is Christmas time and I feel like, and ironically enough, and I did not do this intentionally, I had proposed this idea to Chad. We're recording this on Saturday. I proposed the idea to Chad on Friday night. And then on Saturday morning, I happened to be listening to the Something to Wrestle With podcast, and Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson actually talk about Santa Claus a little bit because they are reviewing the In Your House from 1995 where Brett and Davey Boy wrestle. And it's December. And we're going to get into a couple of things they bring up just kind of coincidentally, but I'm not obviously trying to rip anybody off, but this was an idea that I had, and again, because it's Christmas time and I wanted to do the drinking or wrestling under the influence, thought I'd do that. So Chad, before we get too deep into the woods here though, I want to bring up someone that you actually kind of also helped me come up with this podcast idea for, is Mick Foley, who has, I guess, over the last several years, kind of taken on the Santa Claus persona, even though we learned in his books his love and affection for Christmas many, many years ago. But you actually saw Mick Foley and got me a copy of his book, St. Mick, and got it autographed. But talk a little bit about how all that came about.
Yeah, I believe that was in 2018. Maybe 2017. I don't remember. Time is.
I think it was 17.
17. Okay. Yeah. There's a small bookstore here in West area, I believe, called Book Soup, and they do author signings and talks every so often. And so, my friend Eric, who I do the fantastic podcast with over at Positive Cynicism, he wanted to go and meet him, and I'd met Foley when he spoke at SIU back in 2002, I think it was. So, it's Mick. So everybody likes Mick, and, hearing Christmas Story and the fact that it was this book, not a wrestling book, you know. So I was kind of curious. So we were a little surprised at the turnout. It was very small. And the bookstore is very small as well, so it actually worked out well. But when Mick came out and saw the crowd, and I'm going to say maybe 20 people tops.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, kind of looking around. He's like, you know, when I did the Rock and Sock Connection, and they're about his millions and millions of fans, and I would come out and talk about my tens or dozens of fans. It was supposed to be a joke. It wasn't supposed to be real. But everybody that was there, like there was one person who had Mick Foley's face tattooed on her leg. And so that's diehard. And Mick like recognized her from, I guess, like Twitter or Instagram exchanges. And so that was cool. But we also, while we were standing in line, there was a guy who looked like Santa Claus. And we got to talking with him. And it turns out that you can do Santa Claus training. Or, you know, if you are someone who fits the description of what Santa Claus and you want to become an official Santa Claus person.
I'm you working can be, on that, by the way, with the gray beard and the beer belly. So
yeah,
next Christmas I can do this.
You know, yeah, you got ordained as a marriage professor earlier this year. And I know that marriage professor is not an actual term. I'm just making stuff up. But yeah, maybe next year you can start taking Santa Claus lessons. But this guy was the guy who gave Mick his Santa Claus lessons.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then Mick came out and talked, and I think he read a little bit from the book and just talked about his love for Christmas. And then afterwards they did a autograph signing and talked to people. And I remember him talking about reading Ed Asner's latest book and talking some politics because he and Ed are very liberally minded. So he talked about their shared opinions, but yeah, all in all, you know, I'm trying to think, like I said, I met Mick in 2002, I believe it was. And I don't think we've ever met him on one of the WrestleMania trips.
No, he's been on the podcast before, but I've never met him in person. I've only talked to him on the phone. So,
but yeah, very nice guy. Both, you know, going back to 2002, I had a friend who, cause he came and spoke as part of the Student Programming Council lecture systems. And I had a friend who was on the board, who was, influential in bringing him in. And my friend Slim, texted me and he's like, oh yeah, we're going to take Foley to Applebee's in Carbondale to eat. And so I called up our good friend, our mutual friend and ex-colleague, Randy, and said, hey, let's go to Applebee's real quick. So we're sitting there at Applebee's. And I, at the time, you know, Hurricane Helms was very popular. So I was wearing my Hurricane shirt. And we're sitting, this will be for you, anybody that's been to Carbondale, Applebee's, hopefully I can describe this for the people who haven't. In the bar section, you know, they have the high tables.
Yes.
And we're sitting there. And then I see Slim and Foley and a couple other people come in and they put them back in like the back corner. And so they're behind us. And so Randy and I are talking and all of a sudden I just hear, what up with that? You got to love the Hurricane. And I turn around and Mick is standing behind me. And I'm guessing Slim said something to him or whatever. And he came over and talked to us. And so, yeah, Mick Foley, I think he's just one of those genuinely good people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I never did read the Christmas Nick book or Christmas Mick book or Saint Mick, whatever it's called. I don't know if you did.
I've read some of it, yeah.
But
the interesting thing about that is, was that before or after the documentary on Mick as Saint Mick? Do you remember?
I want to say, I think the book came out after, but maybe been like right at the same time. It could have been the same time as well.
Okay. I think I've talked about that before on this podcast around Christmas time, the documentary. It is so good and I really enjoyed it. And I'm going to try to see if I can find it again and maybe watch it before Christmas. I want to real quick talk about this beer, Santa's Little Helper. Again, it's an Imperial Stout, 10.5% alcohol by volume. And I've actually got, like I said to Chad earlier, this is the big bottle. This would have been one to share. It's about $10 here in Carbondale in Southern Illinois. So it is the pint bottle. But yeah, it's very dark, as you can, well, Chad is the only one watching this, but I may post the video too, I don't know. But anyway, it is very heavy, kind of stout, as stouts typically are. And it's got a little bit of a punch to it. So by the end of this podcast, we should be having some fun. So, Chad, you talked about Mick Foley, and we talked about him kind of doing that portrayal of Santa Claus. We've seen him come out of retirement of sorts and do Santa Claus for WWE. And I jotted down a list of just off the top of my head Santa moments that I remembered as a wrestling fan through the years. And one of them is the night that Santa Mick is out there and he's shaking hands. And as he's making his way back, all of a sudden Alberto Del Rio's music hits and he runs, or it hits, doesn't run him over, but he hits Santa Claus with his car. And I don't remember, and I went back and looked at the clip, and it cuts off before, but I don't remember what the heck the point was. And I think Del Rio was a face at the time. So do you remember this at all?
I do. It's one of the few. I have a list here of moments, and I'm trying to find that one. But I remember Del Rio had kind of turned face at the time, and then came from the Christmas Eve 2012 episode of Raw.
Wow, it was that long. I didn't realize it was that long ago. Okay, wow.
Yeah, and then he accidentally hits Santa Claus, and then John Cena comes out to save Saint Nick because, LOL, Cena wins. But yeah, it's an interesting aspect of the fact that why would you run Saint in the first place? But especially why do it with a guy who, you know, was seemingly a good guy at the time? But
yeah,
LOL logic, I guess.
Right. That's I've noticed kind of a theme with the memorable Santa moments, because I think every year they roll out Santa Claus in some form or fashion, whether they do the women used to do the Santa's Little Helper Battle Royal matches. And, you know, of course, tribute to the troops. They usually have Santa Claus in some way come out. Did you watch this past year's tribute to the troops? I didn't see it.
I did not, because I believe it was on just randomly in the afternoon on Fox.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, their show, the Tribute to the Troops shows are never, you know, big on the actual wrestling content. It's more of a feel good show for the troops, which is a good thing, but it's not like if you miss it, you're not, you know, it's basically watching Raw for 3 months straight. You can take 1 week off and not miss anything.
Very true. And I don't know, last year, again, we talk about this all the time, like memories from way back versus now. I don't remember if AEW did anything Christmas related this year. NXT and AEW will be on at, Christmas Eve, as a lot of people like to say. So I don't know what they'll do, if they'll bring out any kind of Christmassy things or not, but do you remember AEW doing anything for Christmas last year?
I don't. I'm trying to think, rack my brain, and I barely remember what AE did a month ago, so.
Well, I heard Sting was back, so.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll come out like Santa, I don't know.
Maybe. Speaking of memories, though, I'll test your memory way back machine. And this is something that I had forgotten about until doing research for this episode. And then when I saw it, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I remember this. Because I believe it was on TNT, the TV show, not the network.
Okay.
A Christmas Carol starring Roddy Piper.
Yes. If I probably thought about it long enough, I would remember it from when I was a kid. But I remember a few years ago sharing the clip on the My 123 Cents Facebook page, because I used to write several blogs leading up to Christmas on different Christmas memories and moments, and the right, because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Piper was still a bad guy at this point, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I watched the video today, and it's about 7 minutes long, and it's just Piper in bed, and then Marley comes in, and then the ghosts come in, and you don't really see any. Like, I was expecting more WWFers to to play the ghost, but I didn't recognize anybody in the clips. And it's, you know, like the Ghost of Christmas Past comes in and then they superimpose Roddy allegedly as a kid stealing a kid's lunch money. And then Ghost of Christmas Present comes in and they show the Cratchits not being able to wrap their gifts because somebody stole all their Scotch tape. And then, the Ghost of Christmas Future just come in and that's not named, and there are no flowers. And but then Piper never doesn't learn the lesson. He just steals, takes his money, and that's it. So it's really weird. I mean, looking at it now, like I would be curious to see it in the context of the entire show to see how it fit in. But yeah, because it doesn't, much like a lot of WWE storylines right now, it really doesn't have an ending. It just kind of stops.
It just ended. Yes. Yes. Another one, and I'm kind of counting down from the bottom to the top to my favorite. And I don't know how you've got your list going, but I remember Survivor Series 1992 was kind of a changing of the guard with WWE. It was the first year that we didn't see Hulk Hogan on the show. You know, Ric Flair had just dropped the heavyweight championship to Bret Hart. It was a transitional period. It's that first year that we don't really have the traditional Survivor Series matches. And the main event is Bret Hart defending against Shawn Michaels, who had just won the Intercontinental Championship. And the show goes off the air, as the show is going off the air, Santa Claus comes in the ring, raises Bret's hand, and it starts snowing. And it's a kind of this feel-good moment. And, you know, the cynic in me was waiting, because when we get to my favorite Christmas wrestling memory, this part will make more sense. But I was waiting for Santa Claus to attack Bret, and it never happened. And so anytime I see Santa Claus come out to the ring, I'm always wondering, you know, and I guess I'll tie, I actually didn't write one of these down, so I'm going to tie it in right now. Sometimes they bring Santa Claus out and Santa Claus is the bad guy. Like back when Stone Cold was red hot, you know, I don't know if you saw this clip in your research, but Santa Claus is in the middle of the ring. Stone Cold comes out and Stone Cold is questioning the validity of this Santa Claus. Are you real? And so he says, if you're the real Santa Claus, what did I ask for when I was 6 years old? And Santa Claus says, oh, you wanted a Barbie doll and some dresses or something, you know, something, you know, to insult Stone Cold. So they're establishing Santa as the heel. And of course it ends with him getting stunned. So I always thought that was kind of a different approach of presenting Santa. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of those other ways of portraying Santa here in just a few minutes too. But, you know, Santa is the bad guy, and that's kind of a dangerous territory, I think. Not dangerous, but, you know, because WWE is so targeted, or at least back in the day, it was so targeted to kids that you may get some kids asking questions after that.
Well, those kids need to learn the hard life, hard lessons of life, and just realize that Santa Claus is a bad guy because he may bring you coal, and not just coal, he may bring you Michael Cole on commentary to follow you around for the day. And that's worse. I mean, I can't think of anything worse in life than being like, oh, that's vintage Kevin drinking another beer.
True. So what else do you have on your list?
Oh, I mean, I don't, I just have websites that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you had things that you were specifically wanting to make talking points about.
But no, I do. I mean, I have something that I'll bring up later on, just because I don't know if you remember it. And it came up on this website of 16 memorable moments when wrestling and Christmas collided from ranker.com.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, you know, we were talking about Santa being a bad guy, and for as brief a period as this was, to me, it's one of those that kind of stuck in my memory too, and that's Santa Claus. And this was one that they talked about on the Bruce Pritchard podcast this past week, because we see him at the pay-per-view, and then I guess he wrestles one match, maybe. Santa Claus, of course, went on to become Balls Mahoney, but Santa Claus was the opposite of Santa, so that's why he was a bad guy. He had a black beard. He wore black hat. You know, it wasn't the traditional Santa Claus. And again, it's kind of like the gobbledygooker. It's fun for that time period, but then what are you going to do with him in July or June? You know, so what do you think about these guys, these characters that are almost seasonal? You know, yeah, it's kind of silly, I think. You know, there's not going to be any longevity to it, I guess, is what I'm getting.
Right. And to go along with Santa Claus, and I don't know if this is on your list, you also had the Christmas creature from USWA, who would go on to be known as, I believe, Isaac Yankum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, those are the things where you're like, okay, what is the shelf life of this character? Because, like you said, after Christmas is over, come St. Patrick's Day, you're not going to bring out the Christmas creature to be fighting, you know, unless you're going to have a battle against Sheamus and the or Hornswoggle and just see who the, you know, there's the movie Rise of the Guardians, which is an animated film, and I think it's the Easter Bunny and Jack Frost and the Tooth Fairy all teaming up. So unless you're going to create a stable of fictional characters, which, you know, there might not be a good idea there, but it's something that you could do. WCW at Halloween Havoc had the Halloween creatures, which I think only wrestled that one match, and I think that was mainly to put over the tag team they were facing. But yeah, I don't know why you would think Santa Claus would last more than 2-3 weeks.
Well, and allegedly too, and again, this is all from the podcast, but I guess Balls Mahoney was not Balls Mahoney at the time. He had a different name, obviously, but he called because supposedly Vince Russo had buried him to someone, and he was pissed. So he called and asked to speak to Vince, but didn't specify which Vince. And so, of course, he's put through to Vince McMahon, and he goes off on him. And that's where allegedly the name Balls Mahoney came from, because he had the balls to chew out Vince McMahon unknowingly, of course, at the time. But whether or not that's true, I mean, Vince obviously was okay with it because he eventually hired him when ECW became non-existent. So
yeah, and he did do a lot of enhancement work under the name, I believe it's John Richter.
I think you're right. It was John something for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but I'm kind of shocked that you could just call up Titan Towers and say, put me through to Vince.
Right.
And get a call through to McMahon. Like,
yeah. And you know, that's why I said allegedly, because who knows what the real story is, you know, wrestling lore. Yeah. Sometimes those stories become a little more fabricated. But Christmas 1989, of course, it's No Holds Barred is happening, but also on the episode of Primetime Wrestling hosted by Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon. And at this time, Rowdy Roddy Piper had come back and was kind of the third co-host and was usually off in another studio. On this night, Bobby Heenan is dressed like Santa Claus and says that Santa doesn't exist. And they really pushed the envelope, I thought, with this one, with Heenan saying that Santa wasn't real, and Piper's trying to cut him off. Gorilla Monsoon's trying to cut him off to no avail. And Piper finally goes into the other studio, which coincidentally we actually got to tour and visit when we were in Connecticut for WrestleMania in 2013. But Piper comes out and just beats the shit out of Bobby Heenan, who is, again, still dressed like Santa Claus.
You know, I'd like to, if I could spend a minute here, I'd like to talk to the kids out there on Christmas. Please be my guest. Could you get in real close, kids, and gather around the old television set? Now, I know you're looking around the house right now, and you're probably still all excited about what happened this morning and playing with your games and your toys and your dolls and your trucks. But one thing you got to remember, you don't really think some slob in a red suit came down your chimney this morning and gave you gifts, do you?
Cut that out.
Bobby. Check Mom and Dad. They're the ones with the cash and the Gitas.
Hey, Bob,
that's what you should think about
Bobby,
at Christmas.
That's enough. Bobby.
Oh.
Bobby, let's keep the Christmas spirit. I tell you the truth, I got kids, and Christmas is the most wonderful time of year, and let's kind of keep the Christmas
spirit. That's their fault.
Keep your mouth shut. What'd you say?
Oh. And another thing, kids, Santa can't drink milk. It'd get all over his phony beard.
Bobby, I think it's going a little too far.
Knock it off
right
now.
This is a prime time show.
Tis the season to be swerved. Boing.
that one kind of always stuck out to me too, just because of the, because in 1989 wrestling, WWF wrestling specifically, was a kid's cash cow with the cartoons and the lunch boxes and the action figures and the t-shirts and, you know, every, you know, the stuffed animals. So it was really surprising how far they let Heenan go with that whole Santa isn't real thing.
Yeah. I don't remember that. I don't know if I saw it or not, but just don't remember, but I'm curious because on this list that I'm looking, and I don't know if this is also on your list, but they have a still of Primetime Wrestling, which was, you know, the flagship WWF programming at the time. And it doesn't have a year on here, but it's got Heenan dressed up as Santa Claus and then Piper in like a picture in picture.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, that's the one you're talking about. Okay. Yeah,
no, Piper, no, Heenan was dressed like Santa and Piper was in the other studio.
Gotcha. Okay.
I apologize.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, he, you know, Heenan has the whole garb on and then he takes it off to show that Santa's not, you know, Santa isn't real. I don't know why I just air quoted you because no one else can see this. So yeah, that was, and the only reason I remembered it being 1989 is the poster behind them is No Holds Barred. And I remember that Christmas, they did the pay-per-view match and movie inside the cage with Hogan and Beefcake against Zeus and Macho Man.
Poor little out of your Santa's little helper for Zeus.
There you go. Oh yeah. Yeah, of course. We'll drink to Zeus.
Yeah. Let's see. Do you have, and I'm just pulling these randomly again, based on this list. Do you have Hornswoggle's Christmas Wish?
I don't. I don't remember that. I have only one more left, by the way, and it's okay. So go ahead and talk about Hornswoggle's Christmas list or Christmas.
I mean, again, this is not one that I would remember if had you pressed me on it, but it's back when Hornswoggle was, you know, the illegitimate son of Vince McMahon and more of a leprechaun. Mm-hmm. He never spoke.
Right.
And so his Christmas wish was to get the ability to be able to speak. And then that's how they, I guess, transition the character into, although I don't know, I don't remember them doing a whole lot with him speaking. I guess when he was with Three Man Band, when he had the WLC match or TL Wee match or.
I don't remember Hornswoggle doing a whole lot of talking.
Yeah. And I, you know, speaking of Hornswoggle, I just find it interesting how he's kind of gone on from WWE's and now with Impact Wrestling and is having matches against wrestlers. And granted, he's only like 2 inches shorter than Rey Mysterio, so it's not that big of a deal. But yeah, the fact that he has kind of transitioned out of the probably un-PC term midget wrestling into just being the natural wrestler.
You know, because I would assume there's not a whole, you know, I know there's, because I've had him on the podcast before, but the micro wrestling league or whatever the federation, I don't remember the exact name of it, but, you know, when we were kids, you know, you had a contingency of little men and women in some cases that
with very racist names. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
No Haiti kid.
Yeah. So that has, you know, is it just, is there not the need for, or not the
attraction anymore? Yeah.
Yeah. They were the attractions, I guess. And, you know, I wonder whatever happened to that as being, you know, and then if a little person aspires to be a wrestler, what do they do? So it's interesting that they've got Hornswoggle in there doing these things, and he's wrestling as just Swoggle now, right? He's not Swoggle anymore. Yeah.
No, just Swoggle. But yeah, good for him. And, you know, we met him at WrestleMania, I want to say Houston.
No, Phoenix.
Phoenix?
Yeah, because we were just like Money, Inc.
Okay. Yeah. And I asked him, you know, at the time, I don't think he was speaking. He was just kind of grunting or whatever. And I asked him if he was the one that was in Totally Tool announcer. And he was just like, yeah. I was like, cool. So if you haven't checked out Totally Tool Wrestling, I don't know if they're, I think they're on YouTube now. You can check out those shows because there's something. They have nothing to do with Christmas, but it's just a little fun diversion. And I think if any more wrestlers pass away, Tommy Dreamer will become the embodiment of Mark Kayfabe from Totally Tool.
Well, my last one on my list, and of course you've got the other list there that we can kind of bounce off of too, but it was 1983. And, you know, back in the 80s, wrestling and the holidays were a big deal. You know, Starrcade, of course, started off on Thanksgiving. And then World Class, specifically, I remember, always ran shows on Christmas. And one of my first wrestling memories was Kerry Von Erich versus Ric Flair in a cage on Christmas night, 1982. Fast forward a year, and that's, you know, that event in 82 is kind of what catapulted the Von Erich Freebird feud, which was one of my all-time favorite feuds in wrestling. A year later, they're still feuding, the Von Erichs and Freebirds are, and they're set to have a match. What's that? Oh, I thought you said something. So they were set to have a match between Kevin Von Erich and Mike Von Erich against Terry Gordy and Buddy Roberts. And, of course, the Von Erichs win it, and Santa Claus comes in to congratulate. And then as Kevin turns his back, Santa Claus clotheslines Mike and just starts beating the hell out of him until Kevin turns around and sees that it's actually Michael Hayes, and, you know, the fans go wild. But it, for some reason, you know, this is the longest to go memory, but it's the Christmas memory of wrestling that is the most burned in my brain. And maybe it's because it was the first for me. So I always think back to that time when Michael Hayes, who is still involved in the professional wrestling, was dressed like Santa Claus and just raising all kinds of hell. And again, another one of those moments where Santa Claus is the bad guy.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think we've hit on a theme here that in wrestling, Santa often is the bad guy. Portrayed. Yeah. And I don't know what this says about the psychological mindset of wrestling promoters and book. maybe they didn't get the Red Ryder BB gun or the, you know, thing that they wanted for Christmas, and they hold Santa responsible.
They wouldn't be the most over guy on the card, not Santa Claus.
Yeah. They, although, can we call Undertaker Santa Claus now, or maybe Lesnar Santa Claus, you know, guys that just come in for one appearance a year and get put over?
That's true. It's a good point. You got any other Christmas memories there?
The only one that I have that I vaguely remember this when it happened, and it's not a actual wrestling memory, like it didn't happen on it's not a storyline or a segment, but do you remember when the WWE brought out their entire roster to do a little music video singing with the choir, and it's just called the Amazing WWE Sing-Along? And I, again, no year on this clip that I can see on the website, but it, I'm going to guess it's probably around 2013, given people that are in the video, like Ryback and other Great Khali. But yeah, I don't know if you have any memory of this.
They're all out on the ramp, right?
Yes.
I remember it because I posted it again. Something I had posted on the My123Cents page, but I don't remember any of the circumstances, but that time frame sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of those things where obviously they're breaking kayfabe because all the wrestlers are standing, you know, shoulder to shoulder with each other. And it's not, you know, cause like, I believe when they did the wrestling album and the Lounge and Dances video, didn't they keep like the faces on one side and the heels on the other? It's just one of those things. And, you know, it's one of those things that I guess I'll give WWE credit for. It's doing something different and just trying to make fun holiday, you know, movies. See, speaking of holidays, it made me think of the Miz did a movie I can't remember what it was called. I know I watched it, but I remember when we were in Mania 29 in New York, they were doing auditions for like, you could read a line and then somebody would get cast in the film. Sadly,
ironically, it was Santa's Little Helper.
Sadly, we did not get chosen.
That's right. Or was it Christmas Bounty?
Bounty, that's it.
Okay, there are two with The Miz, apparently, so.
Oh, wow.
You're going to need to watch Santa's Little Helper and give me a review.
You know, I've watched Santa with Muscles. I think my wrestling Christmas movies is complete.
Well, Santa's Little Helper, if this helps you at all, is only 31 minutes long. And it stars Miz, Paige, Anna Lynn McCord.
Okay.
So the Miz plays a greedy, materialistic corporate hatchet man who we first see while closing down a community youth center just days before Christmas. Dun, dun, dun. But I don't know if this was a WWE production. There's a lot of WWE names in it, so.
I will check that out.
It's WWE Studios. Oh, it's 91 minutes. I said 31 minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I just tripled your commitment.
You know, if I can sit through 2.5 hours of the Sex and the City movie, probably sit through Santa's Little Helper. Maybe I might need a Santa's Little Helper to help me buy.
Exactly. Yeah, I had forgotten that we did the whole thing at Mania Access weekend that weekend for the Miz movie.
Yeah, I just remember because obviously WrestleMania 28 was The Rock versus Cena, and then WrestleMania 29 was Rock versus Cena. And at 28, it was billed as once in a lifetime. And so as we're standing in line, you know, getting ready to do the reading, the person behind the camera, you know, trying to make small talk. She's like, so who do you think is going to win between The Rock and Cena? And me being the smart ass, dumb ass that I am, I said, oh, probably a class action lawsuit against WWE for false advertisement. And she just like, can you just read the line and get out of here, please?
Yeah. That's why we didn't get the part, man.
Yeah. You're always sticking my foot in my mouth. Yeah. But have you seen Santa's Bounty or Bounty Christmas or whatever it was called?
I have not.
Yeah. It's about what you'd expect from a WWE production starring The Miz.
Well, wasn't he in one that was also on Lifetime? I thought he did a Lifetime Christmas movie too.
Sure. But I'm thinking maybe we need to, in the new year, once a month, we can set aside and just do a WWE movie review podcast.
You know,
I mean, there's 28 Marine movies. There's.
It's funny that you say that because that was actually because I am working on some different ideas for the podcast. And that was actually one of them was to do a WWE or a wrestling related movie review podcast. So stay tuned. 2021, you guys may get that wish because there are some real doozies out there. So,
yeah. Well, and I will say, because I have seen probably more WWE produced films than one should.
Yes.
But two that I really liked is The Call, starring Halle Berry, and No One Gets Out Alive, or No One Lives, one of the two. It starred Tyrus, or who's known as Brodus Clay at the time. He's got a small part at the very beginning. And those two were actually two good thriller films. But I have not seen any of The Marines, or The 16 Rounds, or The Condemned, or... I did see one with Edge and Jamie Kennedy, though, and I think I was like one of three people in the theater.
What was the one that had Halle Berry in it? Is that the one that Randy Orton's in?
No. Hunga was the WWE star in that one, and he just plays a cop that's like a side character.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, we'll have to we'll dig deeper into that if you guys want to hear some WWE movie reviews, let us know in the comments. Chad, anything else as we start to wind down this week's episode?
Let me see. I don't think, I mean, we touched on Tribute to the Troops and Santa Claus and, you know, other than you know, Santa with Muscles and Santa Slay, the two big wrestling related movies.
Did WCW, I don't remember WCW or ECW ever doing much around the holidays. I know they were obviously around.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing stands out to me, though, and I know you were a bigger ECW fan than I was. Do you remember any moments with Christmas-related moments for those two companies?
I not off the top of my mind. I think they did, you know, they probably did some shows that were named, like, because ECW probably did it, like a, you know, a super show or whatever, but I guess we can always go with December to Dismember, which should never be brought up. But
that was cool, though.
What's that?
The poster for that one was cool, I thought.
Yeah. The only thing, a quick Wikipedia search says that from 1993 through 96 and in 2000, ECW presented a show called Holiday Hell. Mm. But yeah, there's nothing of note. No, like, they always did November to Remember.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they ever did anything. And then WCW, I don't remember them doing any yeah. special.
You know, obviously back in the Crockett days, I can remember like the season's beatings. And that might've actually been right at the end of Crockett when Dusty Rhodes and the Road Warriors and all that was a Clash of the Champions. It was just a subtitle. Do your friends over at Pro Wrestling do anything Christmas themed?
They do. I think Christmas is their usual. Yes, they do something, and I'm trying to remember. It's been so long since life as we know it existed. I have forgotten everything that happened. Before lockdown, and I'm trying to think of what they're called. I want to say it's Super Turkey, and I know that's not it.
They do something turkey themed, though, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And let me go to YouTube real quick and go to their channel, and we'll see if I can find something. Turkey Mania is what they would normally do. Yeah, I believe I went to the Turkey Mania 3 last year, and I think that's would be held either late November or early December. Mm. Yeah, because I remember Emotep, the emo mummy, became the number one contender last year.
Well, hopefully everybody's back up and running with shows and whatnot in the very near future. Because there's
one can only hope.
Yeah, because there's not really any date in mind in California, right? For that's where Pro Wrestling's located.
Yeah, I mean, we're still under lockdown, I believe. And then even then, it will be, you know, dependent on when people, I guess, feel safe or make the decision to gather in groups. Because even if everything comes back, but people don't go. You know, we've had that discussion about movie theaters. Once they open, will people flock to them or just stay at home and watch streaming platforms? But I'm hoping, you know, and, you know, even speaking of like WWE, which we've talked a lot about here, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of in the mindset, like if they announce Royal Rumble or WrestleMania will have an audience, I may be on that plane and go there just because it's been so long since had any entertainment.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing and how they, because, you know, this year was supposed to be or 2021 was supposed to be the year that WrestleMania was going to come to Hollywood and be out there, and, you know, we had big plans and whatnot, but I don't see it happening in California this year with all the
Latest I had read was that they may do it back in Tampa where it was supposed to be last year. So yeah, maybe we'll push everything out a year. But, you know, we could go and cosplay as the machines. So we would be wearing our masks.
There you go. Have audiences in cosplay to keep the safety
restrictions
in place. All right, Chad, anything else? Anything you want to plug before we wrap up?
No, I just, you know, I think in the new year, there will be, you mentioned changes to the My 1-2-3 Cents or some new ideas. There'll be some changes to the Positive Cynicism podcast. I think we're going to, we've already eliminated the Politiclamity podcast because, well, reasons. And mainly Google Hangout is going away, and that was how we used to record that. So that's the main one. But I will say the Wonder Why series, our One Hit Wonders, next year we're changing that up a bit, and we're going with artists that technically aren't One Hit Wonders, but you only probably think of them as One Hit Wonders. So stay tuned for that. And then the Out of Touchdown podcast that I do, we are midway through 1991. We said on the latest episode that will drop right after the beginning of the year, we say goodbye to a good friend of Touchstone Pictures after four films. But yeah, keep, you know, listening to that. And I don't know. I have high hopes for 2021. Mainly, I just want to finish reading The Stand by Stephen King. So that might take all year.
All righty. Well, he is at Chad Smart on Twitter. You can find him there and learn more about Positive Cynicism. I'm Kevin at Kevin Huntsberger on your social channels. So be sure to check us out and let us know again what you're thinking, what you'd like to hear, and maybe even see in 2021. Thanks for listening. Merry Christmas and have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.